approaches to reading the Yerushalmi among the Mefarshim, the Pnei Moshe and the Baal Sefer Charedim. To me, it's clear that one of them, I don't want to say it's correct, to me, having read the Yerushalmi first without reading the commentary, instinctively, one of the approaches seemed to be more correct. Has anybody here read both of them? Ben, did you get to it?
A little bit.
Yeah, here?
Only the
Pnei Moshe. Okay.
So what's that?
You only saw the Pnei Moshe. Okay. So we're going to talk about both approaches, and we'll see which is the intuitive one. I think we'll go with the Baal Sefer Charedim first. So let's start by reading the Yerushalmi. Who would like to read the Yerushalmi for me? Samuels, you're reading. You're volunteering too much. It's a sign that you're prepared. But somebody else. Jeremy, you want to read? It's not that I reject your reading. You read beautifully. Okay, yes. What's that? From you don't need to read the Mishnah. You can read the Mishnah, but I don't think that it matters. The printed edition, remember that the printed Mishnah in the Yerushalmi is of unknown provenance. It tends to look a little more like the Mishnah of Eretz Yisrael. But frequently it's just the same Mishnah in the Bavli, and it doesn't mean anything. Although I did at least manage to catch a Hazav Kones HaKesef. That one they have, I think. Right, the fourth parak of Bava Metzia is parak Hazav.
Kones Hazav?
Hazav Kones HaKesef. Go ahead.
Don't they have the Mishnah?
What?
They have, like, the
Loew? No. So Loew's Mishnah is... He found the manuscript. Israel Loew, I think it is. Found a manuscript in Cambridge, which was complete. It had no commentary in it. That's extremely rare, because there are only two other manuscripts we have that are complete and also have no commentary in them. Nothing else that we have is complete, and virtually everything, every manuscript I've ever seen has the Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam in it. You know, Liniac and Easy Fragments. What? Parma 138 and Kaufman. No, those two do not. The three whole manuscripts do not have any Perush in them. And what one finds, what he found in this manuscript is a lot of readings that actually turn out to be readings that you find in things like Kaufman. I found any number of commonalities in language between them. And he entitled this manuscript when he published it, he published a transcription of it, following the page of the manuscript. I mean, not in a fancy script. He did an incredible job, how accurate it is. I mean, there may be a few errors here and there, but the accuracy is absolutely astounding. I mean, he was working in the 1870s. Unbelievable. And every time there's a funny reading, he puts a little asterisk on it, just one note at the bottom that says, Kein hu b'ksav yad, because you're going to look at it and think it's a printer's error. And he titled it HaMishnah She'alea Nosad Talmud HaYerushalmi, or sometimes it's called Masnisa D'Bnei Marava. It's not true, but what is correct is that there are a lot of common readings to the Mishnah that would have been in front of the Masadre HaYerushalmi. So what we have in our Yerushalmi and in our Bavli is a Mishnah text, but not one that the Chachmei HaBavli Yerushalmi had in front of them. It means that the manuscript was in the library. Libraries purchased, acquired manuscripts. No one knew, if they were cataloged, no one really knew, what their significance was. There are probably, 100 Unclus manuscripts in Europe, but, one of them was labeled an Unclus manuscript in the Vatican Neofiti collection, and then someone looked and Diaz Macho was looking at it and said, hey, this is not Unclus, and realized it was a Targum of Eretz Yisrael. It was a Palestinian Targum, and all complete with keffiyeh and rocks. And so all of a sudden you didn't like that? Okay. It's one of those problems in scholarship that, it's called the Palestinian Talmud because it was given that name before the State of Israel was established, and so when it was called Palestine. What's that?
No, I just kind of joke, yeah.
So that's what it means. In other words, it's a manuscript that either was not cataloged, or it was cataloged, but no one realized its significance. And instead, he discovered the manuscript, but he found this manuscript in the Cambridge collection and realized, hey, this has a lot of valuable, unusual readings, which seem to echo more that which the Yerushalmi, I'm almost certain it has Hazav Kones HaKesef, and the one in there are two readings in the Bavli, the Mishnah Avodah Zarah about Bitl Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael, where Rebbe's, according to the Bavli's version, B'Yalduso Rebbe taught that a Goy can be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah of Yisrael. That's why David, I think, needed Itai Hagiti with him, because he wanted to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. What are you making faces for? You have to appreciate the godless Chazal. I don't care whether it's historical or not. And Bizikenuso, he said that that an Akum, only an Akum can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah of another Akum, but Yisrael can never be Mevatel, and Avodah Zarah Yisrael has no Bittel Olamas. That's the way we have in that's what the Bavli assumes that we have in our printed editions and in our Mishnayos, in our printed Mishnayos, but in the Kisvei Adar Eretz Yisrael, Kaufman and so on, you have what the Bavli ascribes as Yaldu. So the same thing is true of Hazav Kones HaKesef versus HaKesef Kones Hazav. Okay, so anyway, so I don't think that the Mishnah, now you got that little piece in there, so you could file that with the introduction to Mechkar category. Yes?
Does it mean that prior to when they first printed Gemaras that they were using,
Most of the Kisvei Yad of the Gemara, I mean, if you take Brachos, for example, the four Kisvei Yad we have, Munich has all the Mishnayos in it. Munich does it, you can go online to see this, it's unusual, whereas he has the Piskot like we do, he does not have whole Mishnayos the way we do, but they're printed in the margins in big block print, block script as opposed to script or whatever. It's handwritten, but it's block in the margins. The other three manuscripts, one of them has the entire Mishnah printed at the beginning of the parak. The other two don't have it at all. I forget which of it. You know, there's Paris, Florence, and Oxford are the three manuscripts. That's the original Mishnah. That's all that's left of the Mishnah of Bavel. Is I know that we tend to regard that. Correct. To the extent.
Those were always there.
Yes, and that is the only all that's left of the original Mishnah Bavlis.
So the printers played with what that putting the full Mishnah in the beginning.
Correct, and that's why you see at some point most of the Kisvei Yad. My impression is just if they have the Mishnayos, they're in total at the beginning of the Perek, and therefore even when they printed the Venice Shas. For whatever reasons, and it may be in, I haven't had a chance, the Sfarim Sale has, by the way, they reprinted from, I have the Dituke So from at home, but they have Mamar al Pasara Talmud by Rab Rabinovich, Rabinovitz, whatever, how you pronounce his last name. The person who did the Dituke So from in 19th century, it printed at the beginning of the Dituke So from, impossible to read in the new editions, is this Mamar al Pasara Talmud. Right, the essay on the printing of the Talmud, and you might want to. They have it now. The Moser of Kook published it as a separate volume. You know, for like $8 or $4. Very, very inexpensive. It's worth picking up at the sale. Just much easier to read, and maybe sell that. Okay. Well, I'm glad I saw it. So anyway, so he'll probably talk about this. But for whatever reasons, when they printed the Venice Shas in the 1520s, I guess they were lazy at certain points and they didn't want to distribute the Mishnayos throughout the Perek the way they usually did. So you know that there are certain Prakim and sometimes Mesechtas where the Mishnah always appears in one chunk at the beginning of the Perek. So you learn Sanhedrin, the first Perek. It's all, I think that's the only Perek in Sanhedrin that's like that. That I remember offhand, at least, but the entire Mishnah is the first Amud. Or if you learn Sota, so the latter Prakim, I believe, out of all of them, starting with the seventh Perek, have the entire Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. Or in Makos, in Elohein Halokin.
Right.
What? Tanis has for not all of it, not the first Perek I know. And that sounds right. So that's just a function of whatever reason the printers decided not to go through the labor of distributing the Mishnayos throughout, but what was in front of them was really the way you see it. If they had whatever manuscripts they might have been working with, they had the entire Mishnah written at the beginning of the Perek.
They just decide which Rishon will be at the daf.
What's that?
The printers just decide that Rashi and Tosfos will be at the daf.
Understood. If I'm not mistaken, Rashi already. I've never seen a Ksavya like this, but maybe I have actually. But not the ones that we have, or not the ones that are. She's not the ones on the Lieberman CD. That may be really the answer. But I believe that many of the manuscripts already had Rashi being written along with the Gemara, and there may have been some in Tosfos. I remember learning something in my not so good medieval Jewish history course so it was a factoid, but I don't know if it's true or not. But that in Ashkenaz at some point they had Rashi and Tosfos actually written in the manuscripts. I've never.
In the course that was taught last semester, two semesters ago.
The print one?
That was never mentioned.
Print culture?
No. That would have been something that would have been mentioned.
In manuscripts or in print? You're doing
in
print.
Manuscripts did not, in general, have...
I understand.
Whole commentary
on them. So I've got that has Rambam?
Yeah, Rambam.
Yeah, there is. I seem to remember you showing it was when I was in junior high or something. There was one of the...
What? On Bavli? No.
Yeah, that
I don't think it's not, yeah, or a printed edition, but...
Okay. Anyway, whereas, and what I was thought we were told that, you know, in Ashkenaz they would print sometimes write Rashi and Tosfos in the manuscript, that whereas in Sfara they might actually use Ramban instead of Tosfos. I have never actually gone to verify these things. The Kisvei that I've worked with have not had commentary in them. Although I think I've seen in going through materials. You know, at one point in research, having passed through stuff which looked like they were, you know where to actually look. In the fastest place to find, the volumes that I think Machon Lo Tzara Talmud, I think it's called. They print out two red volumes of Mishnah Yisraim, which are probably the last word. I mean, they made the poor choice, but it was Beshita. They decided to put the standard Vilna text of the Mishnah on top, as opposed to using Kaufman, which would have been the scholarly choice. But it has everything in it, all the Geniza fragments, everything is in the critical apparatus. In the front, they have a lot of pictures of different Kisveyad. You know, just a page from each Ksavyad, and they're like 8 or 9 volumes or something like that of green volumes on the beginning of Seder Nashim. They have Yevamos, Ksubos, and I know not Gittin Kiddushim, but I don't know which of Nedarim Nasir Sota. They have, nothing has come out in 20 years, I suspect. Nothing I'm aware of, but you can look if you want to see photographs there, and I'm sure you'll see what kind of different Kisveyad there were, and which of them would have commentary in them. Okay, so anyway, you're not looking at that now, is that what's in front of you? Oh, those Vada have some stuff also. Let's take a look and see what they have. They might also have, but there they may also be printed, more printed editions than Kisveyad. Okay, so anyway, so with that, so you never see your error, your ways of error, which I've now corrected, of attempting to read the Mishnah in Shir. Go ahead, start with the Gemara. Okay. All right, but I said you could read the Mishnah anyway, so go ahead. Chazer for people. You know what? I should just tell you, making fun of myself. My wife loves to quote the line that someone, one of my older brother's friends, once said about me. This was when I was a teenager. He said, "You ask him for the time, and he'll tell you how a watch works." Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. So fine. So you have Minim Harbe. Now, what does the Mishnah not say again about the Minim Harbe? Harbe of what? Fruits and vegetables, shahakals. Doesn't say what. How you the fundamental of harbe? Who this says? If there's a min shiva, that's what you make the bracha. And the chacham say, al eze mehem sheyirtze, whichever he wants. Now, what is also not stated in the Mishnah? Yeah. No. Just what case is not addressed in the Mishnah, fundamentally?
Is there bread involved?
Maybe, okay, but let's assume for the moment there's. I can make a reasonable assumption based upon the coming Mishnah is why there's no bread involved. Because bread, everything else would have been tofel to the bread probably. It would have been, parparos or something like that. So let's assume for. What? Wait, just hold on. No, it's not unclear in the Yerushalmi about whether there was bread. There was no bread there in the Yerushalmi, not yet.
Not yet.
Hold on. But what if there's no min shiva, especially according to Rabbi Yehuda? Especially according to Rabbi Yehuda, what if there's no min shiva? Okay.
Well, also, what about kedim within min shiva?
Fine. But it'd be easier. So I more make the argument there's that we don't care. In other words, there was this unique Bavli position, as you know, when you get to the end of the Yerushalmi, because it's attributed, Taman, if you recall, at the end of the Yerushalmi, it says, Taman Amrin. Right? This was not an Eretz Yisrael view. It's not rejected by the Yerushalmi, but it's not of Eretz Yisrael origin, this idea that within Shivas Aminim, there's some type of Kedima. Okay, but that's a distinctly Bavli view, as confirmed by both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Okay? So it doesn't say, what would happen if there's no min shiva? Now, what would the Chachamim's position be if there's no min shiva? That's pretty obvious. What would Rabbi Yehuda's position be? Probably. Well, probably like the Chacham. He'd probably agree. Okay. Fine. Who says anywhere in Tannaitic literature that there's a notion of bracha that's more specific? Even the fact that Rabbi Yehuda requires, why would you say on your own Rabbi Yehuda requires min shiva? Because it's more specific? Well, what if it's dates and apples? Right? It's not more specific. What would you have said? Why is it? Why is it? What would you have said? Why min shiva? Chashivus.
And it doesn't mean it comes first. Right? The more specific, even though he has a shita of more specific brachos, doesn't mean that they have, that may, that's the same reason for the precedence.
That's correct. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda has an idea that you have more different kinds of brachos. That doesn't have anything to do with which one you make first or and so on. Yeah. Okay. Now let's start the Yerushalmi. Go ahead.
Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli Amar, Rafli Gan, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbanan. Kishayav adato lakol pat, adal ein adato lakol pat, kol amo moda, yishim yesh benihem benim shiva, alavu moda.
Okay. So the first thing we're told is we have an ukimta. Just like you expect to find this in the Bavli, of course, but of course you find this in the Yerushalmi as well. We have an ukimta, and what does the ukimta do? It constricts the range of machlokas. The machlokas is limited to a situation where you intended to eat bread afterwards. But if you have no intention of eating bread afterwards, everybody agrees that you mevarech al min shiva. Now, what in the world is Rav Shimon Levi talking about? Rav Shimon Levi is not a minor amora, he's a major amora. So, there is one thing, I think, that you see immediately, without knowing what exactly his logic is. Well, maybe you don't. What is the first thing that would come to mind? I think the simple reading of the Yerushalmi, as to what is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda HaChachamim not about? Eyal? Yeah. It would seem, although this is not necessarily true, depends who's perish, that it's not about the chashivas of the thing that you're making a bracha on. Because if it were, what difference would it make whether or not you're going to eat bread afterwards or not? Now, that still doesn't explain to you why. What? If the issue of making for Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim is chashivas, why would the Chachamim distinguish between whether you're going to eat bread after this or not eat bread after this? Clearly, you're making a bracha rishona on something, on a fruit. Let's assume for the moment, with Yerushalmi, it's not going to tell us whether Berchoseim Shabbos or not. We're not going to know. Okay, if you read the Bavli, you know already that's where the Amorai Bavel seem to hone in on. They focus on the question of multiple brachos versus single bracha. But the Yerushalmi is not interested in that. The Yerushalmi just says that it depends upon whether or not you're eating bread afterwards. If you're eating bread afterwards, then there's a machlokas to Chacham Rabbi Yehuda. If you're not eating bread, then the Chacham Amodet Rabbi Yehuda. Now, why would the Chachamim distinguish? And presumably, the fact that the Chachamim require in one case and not in the other, in both cases you're making a borei priyates or something like that, it has nothing to do with chashivas. It has to do with something else. Right, or so it would seem, because who cares whether you're eating bread afterwards? The bottom line is you have an apple, you have a date, and you have to decide whether or not you're making a bracha rishon on the apple on the date. Who cares whether you're having bread later? If you're making a bracha bari priyates anyway, if you hold that, you have to make a bracha on the shivas aminim because it's more chashiv. Who cares whether you're eating bread later? Right? So it has nothing to do with chashivas anymore. It has something to do with something completely different. Okay. But what exactly it has to do with is entirely unclear at this point in the Yerushalmi, because of course you don't have a foil. As soon as you have a foil, now you get to see a multidimensional perspective on what's going on. Of course, if only it were 100% clear. I think it's pretty clear, but somebody didn't. Go ahead. All right, so what is the din that he's saying, firstly? Clearly, he's not telling us that there's a din of bracha achrona. I think we knew that already. Right, there is such a din. All right, so it certainly sounds like, Eyal, when pas comes afterwards and you're eating fruits before, you have to make a bracha achrona. Before you wash and before you have the bread. Yehuda? Hold on. What does that mean? In other words, if you have te'enim and tamarim, I think it's a pretty much taken for granted that you make an ala etzal priyates once. if you have, it happens to be we paskin, if you have an apple and a date, that you make an ala eitz and you don't have to make a bar nefashas on the apple. Okay, the ala eitz v'al pri eitz paters the bracha achron on the apple. That's a din you should be aware of. What's that? I don't know. I suspect not, especially for the nusach that we make, which is ala gefen v'al pri gefen. There's the Rambam has you make a chasim of ala eitz v'al peros, the same chasim you make on the fruits. Fruit forms of it, but for I don't know what Sfaradim do. We haven't gotten that far in Shulchan Aruch yet to see what the Mechaber holds or what Beis Yosef holds. But for Ashkenazim, who say Alagefen Pri Hagafen, even in the Chasima, I don't see why it should pater fruits. Right? It might pater grapes because that is Pri Hagafen, but I couldn't see the bracha is not kolel any of the other meanim. Okay. So in that sense you might be barking up the right tree. Hold on, as you'll see in a second. Okay, so somebody says that you have to make a bracha achrona even if you're eating bread afterwards. Meaning, you would have what might you have thought? That you might think that the berachas hamazon would pater it. In fact, it might even be so. It might even be so, depending how you read a certain line in the Yerushalmi. But lechatchila, at least this amora, Rabbi Yosei says, Rabbi Abba holds that l'chatchila, at least you're supposed to make a bracha achrona before you make hamotzi. What if you didn't? Hold off on that. But l'chatchila, you're supposed to make a bracha achrona before you start the meal with bread. Okay, now, so far, that seems to be an interesting thought, but how does it tie in here? So now comes along Rabbi Abba and he says, Jeremy, you're up. I'm Rabbi Abba. One second, I'm sorry. Eyal, I apologize. Why? What? If the bottom line is you're eating this before you eat the bread, and you have to make a bracha rishona. Nobody's saying here. Nobody's arguing that you don't have, according to the chachamim, the reason why you don't have to make all the min shiva is because you don't have to make a bracha at all, because you're going to make a bracha on the pas. So you say it's tafel even though you're eating before. Like, it's one of the things we don't say. That is, if you eat something before you start with the bread, you have to make a bracha rishona on it at least. So why should it matter then whether or not you're going to have bread or not have bread? Because either way, if it's about chashivas of the min, why would the chacham ever say you have to make on the min shiva?
If bread comes into the picture, so then there's an additional thing that's going to make
Why though?
So we'll see. I mean, we're going to see.
No, but the point is, how can what's coming later have an impact upon whether it's a davar chashiv when you're making the bracha rishon or not?
It's not an issue with davar chashiv. Now something else comes in.
No, I agree, but presumably the reason why the Chachamim say that when you are or aren't doing something afterwards, you have to make it on the Min Shiva, so it's not, in other words, why would you distinguish between whether you're having, I don't know why you would distinguish but between whether you're having bread later or not, but the fact is, whether you're having bread later or not, if in one case you don't say it's that the Shiva Saminim is automatically Chashiv, therefore you have to make the Bracha Rishon on it, then it doesn't matter whether you are or not having bread afterwards. You shouldn't distinguish between the two. If you believe that the Shiva Saminim is automatically more Chashiv, No, hold on. What's just to say? No, but the point is, you don't want to have the bread now. That's a point that needs to be made.
Maybe that's the issue.
So now you're coming into what the Baal Sefer Haredim says. Okay, I don't think that that's pshat in the Yerushalmi. I think it's clearly not pshat. I mean, I think it's a strange pshat, especially with the Rabbi Abba's line we're about to read. But okay, there is such an interpretation in the Yerushalmi. That's why I said before, depending on who you interpret like. But if you're reading like the Pnei Moshe, I think that clearly chashivas has nothing to do with it. Correct. That position I would understand, but.
And the Yerushalmi doesn't argue on that. Then, but for Chachamim, who don't think that there's chashiva, so then they're only conceding to Rabbi Yehuda in a case of when pot comes afterwards.
No, when pot doesn't come afterwards. When pas doesn't come afterwards. When pas does not come afterwards. When there's no pas. It's when there's no bread afterwards, the Chacham Amod. So So it doesn't make sense, but at least for the Chacham.
There has to be a reason for them.
Although there has to be a reason. I'm pointing out that our intuitive reason doesn't work as you read through the Yerushalmi. The Baal Sefer Haredim comes up with something, and I don't know what it's exactly. Well, I mean, but anyway, okay. So now, what does Rabbi Abba come along and say? Go ahead. Okay, one second. Ignore the repetition for the Rabbi. Let's put it off the repetition of Rabbi Abba for one second. Okay, so what we know now then is, based upon Rabbi Yose's comment, that Rabbi Abba must be arguing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Why must he be arguing? Because Rabbi Abba says you have to make a bracha achrona, which means he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What must Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hold? That you don't have to make a bracha achrona when? Presumably when you're eating bread afterwards. You don't have to make a bracha achrona when eating bread afterwards. And therefore, now here's where you got to follow the next step through. It must be something about the absence of a bracha achrona that allows you to be mevater on choosing the Shivas Aminim. Okay, why? Okay. So let me ask you a question. Here's where you come to a fork in the road. There are two possibilities of understanding. If you're reading the way we're reading right now, the Baal Sefer Haredim is going to have a different approach. I don't think that's the Pshat approach. I think Plain Moshe is correct. But let's work for just for a moment in the Plain Moshe. And we switch there since you're pushing there. What would the din be according to the Plain Moshe, according to this approach? What would the din be if I'm going to eat an apple and a date now, okay? And both of them have a sheer kezias in them, at least. And I have a choice. I either make a bracha on the apple, I make a bracha rishon on the apple, bracha rishon on the date. What bracha achrona do I make? Ooh. Maybe. I haven't learned this in Hilchos Brachos yet, so I haven't checked. My gut tells me that no. Absolutely not. And whichever one you make the bracha on first, if you ate I agree. Now, this possibility has occurred to me. Have we?
Where they say whatever
you
say,
making mashmi.
No, but that's time. That's about a specific food. If it's bracha rishon is hamotzi, it's bracha achrona is shalosh brachos, and if it's bracha rishona is mizonos, then it's bracha achrona is main shalosh or bracha achas, whatever. And depending, you may go in different directions. We haven't spoken about a case when you had two macholim, and then which one do you make the bracha achrona on? And normally, we generally assume if I have a banana and an apple, you know, what bracha achrona do I make? Well, it's the same for both, so it doesn't matter. So and there I make two separate brachas anyway. But even lo yitzuya that I made a bracha sadam at the pot of the apple too. You know, that funny hava mean of the Bavli, or maybe not funny, maybe, you know, maybe in fact shot in the Mishnah, we're not sure. So the bracha achrona wouldn't matter. But what happens when you have two things that have different brachas acharonas, and bread is not going to be one of them, because when you're having bread, the other one's going to be a tafel, and obviously you're going to eat, make a bracha samotze in the bread, the other's going to be malafis as a pas. So what happens when you have two minim with a different bracha achrona? And let's say the same bracha rishona, which bracha achrona do you make? Or both? Now, again, typically, if I have water and I have a date, so I make two bracha achronas, not a problem. I make two separate bracha rishonas and two separate bracha achronas. What happens when I have an apple and a date? So the possibility has to be considered in the Yerushalmi. There are two ways of reading this. But the way you're pushing out to read it is that the reason why you still have to explain one more thing. What Shlomo wants to say is that the reason, if you're not going to make a bracha achrona, we don't really care which bracha rishona you make on it. But if you're going to have to make a bracha achrona, we want you to make a main shalosh. And therefore, you should have the Shivas Aminim first. But I could respond to them and say, no, if your din is correct that you make a bracha achrona only on the bracha rishona you made, so why is that a problem? Maybe, so what? That's your choice. If you chayv to make the bracha achrona, you chayv to make the bracha achrona. If you're not, so let's say you choose to make it on the shakel, so on tapor. So what? So you don't have to make a bracha afterwards. As if the din is you don't have to make a bracha afterwards, so the din is you don't have to make a bracha afterwards. But so you're saying that really you wouldn't have to make a bracha at all if you did it that way, but we would like you to have another bracha. Okay, there is another simpler possibility, which perhaps for the question that I just asked you might be the more correct one, which is to say, and it's actually, Rav Hirsch showed me, I think it's a Prima Gadim who talks about this issue. I hadn't seen the Yerushalmi, and then I went to him and I said, you know, the Yerushalmi says kimat that, depending on how you read it. What's the other way of reading Yerushalmi, David, or you have a question?
I mean, it's in the possibility.
Yeah?
It's saying that there are two different...
Oh, that's terrible. Yes, go ahead.
There are two different bracha rishona. Then you have the briyat ha'etz that's linked to a bracha ha'main shalosh, and then you have the briyat that's linked to brain fashot. And if you're gonna say one of them having in mind the wrong bracha rishona, so then you can't. You're not
going to
make it.
Okay. See, I'm at fault because you're not formulating things clearly. It's because you've gotten rusty. It's been, almost 4 years. So the answer is, the formulation I would choose is the following, that you're going to make a bracha achas main shalosh at the end. Because when you eat multiple foods, regardless of how they're covered by bracha rishona, you need to make, if necessary, multiple brachas achronos, unless one patters the other. Now, forgetting whether they were or weren't making a bar nefashis in the Yerushalmi, bar nefashis is not going to patter a main shalosh, which means you're going to make a main shalosh at the end of your apple and date meal, no matter what. And therefore, there might be a preference of making a link between bracha rishona and bracha achrona, that we would like l'chatchila, the bracha achrona, to be made tied to the bracha rishona. And if you make a bracha rishona, it's on the tapuach, the bracha achrona cannot be tied to that, because you don't make ala eitz v'al pri eitz on the tapuach. And therefore, we would much prefer that once you're going to have to make a bracha achrona, your bracha rishona should be on that which you're going to make the bracha achrona on. So if you're going to have pas afterwards and you don't have to make a bracha achrona, the chachamim don't care which one you make the bracha rishona on. It makes absolutely no difference. But if you're not having bread afterwards, or if you were to hold that you have to make a bracha achrona, then that consideration would be irrelevant because we would then insist that you be making a bracha an alei tzapret ten, and therefore we would insist that you make a, if in fact that's the consideration of the chachamim, you'd have to make the bari priya eight on the date as well. Now again, I say that's just within Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Abba obviously doesn't hold to that. He says the chachamim, it sounds like the chachamim would argue across the board. It doesn't matter. It's not tied to bracha achrona. We don't know what Rabbi Abba's sheet is. Rabbi Shimon Levi again believes that if you have to make a bracha achrona, namely you're not eating any bread afterwards, we want that to be tied to the bracha rishona you made. And since the bracha achrona akarchach is going to be al eitz v'al pri eitz no matter what, therefore the bracha rishona should be made on the shivas aminim that you're making the bracha achrona on. Whereas, if you're not making a bracha achrona, then we don't care because you're going to make hamotzi and then you're going to have brachas amasim, which covers everything. So it makes absolutely no difference. That would be, to me, to my mind, the simplest reading of the Yerushalmi. Yehuda and then Moshe.
Is it possible that Rabbi Abba does he have to just be disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon?
Well, the Yerushalmi claims he is, and that's all I have to work on. As Rabbi Yose claims, we're understanding how Rabbi Yose understood Rabbi Shimon Levi, but I don't got any better explanation, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Right. In other words, certainly the way the early Amorim understood Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, so it's clear. In other words, when Yosef comes along and says this, you're right. When you first read it, Rabbi Abba's statement, could have been stated in a vacuum, unconnected to Yehoshua ben Levi. But the Yerushalmi's presentation of it here, and Rabbi Yosef's explicit claim, is that this is the machlokas between them. Now, I think it's clear, by the way, from the repetition of Rabbi Yosef's statement, is it might not have been stated in this context, because he adds on another piece of twist, which is, What I think is the B'di'evit case. What if you didn't make the bracha achrona? But so Anaz Rabbi Yosef's statement may not have made originally in this context, But its application here and presentation of the Yerushalmi in this way, in other words, suggests that what Rabbi Yishuv Levi's position was. In other words, the Yerushalmi had a statement from Rabbi Abba that you have to make a bracha achrona in these cases. And Rabbi Yosef comes along and he drags it into the sugya and says that after Rabbi Yishuv Levi makes a zukimta, understand that Rabbi Yishuv Levi's zukimta won't work for Rabbi Abba. Because according to Rabbi Abba, you always have to make a bracha achrona. Rabbi Yishuv Levi's distinction with the Chachamim depends upon whether you need to make a bracha achrona or you don't need to make a bracha achrona. When he was going to have pas?
He just said, no, he's not going to have pas. You have to make a bracha.
What does he need to say that for? You need to tell us that you make a bracha achrona on foods?
On if you have different foods, then yeah.
But he doesn't tell us which ones. Yeah, what's the chiddush?
That you have to, that it's not, that's why you have to have the shiva first. And then if you're going to, then you can have something else after, you have to make a bracha achrona on that after. The point is to have the shiva first.
I'm sorry, I'm not processing. It's not your fault. Again, Rabbi Shuvan Levi says that if you're not going to eat bread afterwards, then you have to make it al min shiva. Okay, now what does Rabbi Abba come along and say?
Just saying, okay, so first you have to make a bracha on min shiva, and then if you're having something after, you have to make a bracha on.
No, but all Rabbi, okay, but what would the hava mean to be? Rabbi Abba says, tarach levarech b'self. Right, he's coming to tell you because you thought you might not have to make a bracha achrona at the end.
The halakha would be that you wouldn't have, that you wouldn't be eating different foods and then make one bracha.
Again, you would have thought.
I mean, it would be that you're having multiple foods and making one bracha achrona afterwards. What Rav is saying is that you'd be making multiple bracha.
But. I guess I don't quite see it in his words.
That's what I was just commenting on. He's not commenting on Rabbi Levi. He's saying.
I agree. He's not commenting on Rabbi Shimon Levi. He's not. Let's look at for a moment at the second statement, the second quotation. The Amar Rabbi Abba. Jeremy, finished reading where I stopped you. Vitzarech.
Umar Rabbi Abba. Vitzarech Levarech. Misof. Lo birech. Naset Seila.
All right, so it sounds to me, if you didn't make a bracha achrona, then what did you do? What is he talking about? And then you had your bread. So then, what's the din? It becomes tafel to the meal, and you make a berakas hamazon at the end, and you pater it all. That's the simple reading of the Yerushalmi. Right? So it sounds to me, Yehuda, just from reading the fuller statement of Rabbi Abba, and again, I don't think it was stated on the Mishnah. It was stated on something else. It was stated on a case where a guy was eating something before the meal. He was having hors d'oeuvres before the Suda. He said, you have to make a bracha achrona, but if you didn't make a bracha achrona, it's naseh tefela, and therefore you don't make another bracha achrona, you just make a birkas hamazon. That's the way I would have read the statement. Ayal? Moshe, you had a comment, or?
It's not clear whether the Gemara is sort of taking Rabbi Abba's statement and sort of moving it along further. Rabbi Abba initially coming and saying you have to make a bracha at the end. And that could be number one if you're having minim harbe before bread, and then he's saying no, before you eat the bread you have to make a bracha achrona, and that's what the Gemara takes and says, okay, well, forget, and this is what you're gonna do. On the other hand, if Rabbi Abba's statement could just be applied to the Mishnah without Rabbi Shimon Levi's bringing in the issue of bread, and you could say, well, he's requiring you make a bracha basov. What does that mean? It means that if you made a bracha eitz on the apple, and you were potted the dates, you still have to make a main shalosh on the dates, regardless. Even if you're not having bread,
okay, so you're suggesting to read it that he's coming lafuke, the possibility that Shlomo was raising. But okay, either way, though, I think it's clear what the Yerushalmi does with it. Right? It's clear the Yerushalmi understands that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's distinction between yes pas, no pas, is going to collapse if you have to make a bracha achrona before the pas. It's going to collapse. Eyal.
I think Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is very influenced by the next mission. He's trying to connect this mission to the next one. The next one is all about what happened.
Or I don't see the connection. I mean, it's clear, look, there is a connection in the sense that this, up until now, the Perek has dealt with what bracha do you make on a particular food. Now we're dealing with multiple foods, and depending on the way they're being eaten, whether you need multiple brachas, or whether the bracha for one covers that of another, and so on and so forth. Right? And by the way, that... At the end of with what? It's the same issue that Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, something that's eaten before. Okay. I mean, I have to think about whether it's identical, or whether the particular foods in question are different, but okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, I have to think about that further, whether really it stems from that or not. In other words, Rabbi Yishuv Levi, I think the way that Yerushalmi presents it starts with an assumption that you don't need to make a bracha achrona, different than the Rabbanan that quoted at the end of there. Certainly, the way Rabbi Yossi understood it is that Rabbi Yishuv Levi's ukimta in the Mishnah is impossible if you hold that tzarach levarach himself. Okay.
Why is Rabbi Yossi and or interpret in Rabbi Abba the lo birech nazet tefillah and bring in the
I assume that it's not interpreted. I assume that's a quotation, unless it could be the Yerushalmi's hesber. But I think the reputation. I think.
How does any of that prove his point?
Prove Rabbi Yosei's point?
Yeah.
It doesn't. No. The point is, it shows you how Rabbi Yosei understood Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. He understood that for Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, the reason why the Chachamim don't require min shiva when you're eating bread afterwards is because there's no bracha achrona there, and therefore it doesn't matter what you make the bracha rishon on. For whatever the reasons, without explaining the exact reason, but the bottom line is it makes no difference what you make the bracha rishon on because there is no bracha achrona, as opposed to when you're not having pas, when obviously there's a bracha achrona. So Rabbi Yosei comes along and says, Rabbi Abba, who claims that you always have to make a bracha achrona, regardless of whether you're eating bread afterwards or not, are you some Shubin Levi?
So it's to demonstrate what Rabbi Abba is really talking about. I mean, that's why he adds in,
et cetera. That certainly clarifies a little bit of context. It certainly does, yes. So I don't know if, I assume it's Rabbi Abbas, that's a quotation, but if it's not, it's the Yerushalmi's, I assume it is. I mean, they repeat it, and I assume it's to give us the fuller context. Okay, so that's a very, very interesting perspective. Now, and again, what is the Hesber behind it? So there are two ways. You can say what Shlomo said, which has occurred to me. It's a radical idea. I find it appealing in that sense. Which is that when you make a bracha rishona on multiple foods, where the bracha rishona, it's the same bracha rishona for, you know, two different foods, you're only going to have it. I mean, there are not so many cases of this, because you have to have something. You only have three brachas achronas. Four, okay? Five. But, okay, gefen and mizonos. But the problem, bottom line, is the only things that have a bori priya gefen is made with, in conjunction with bori, an ala gefen is made with a bori priya gefen. An ala micha is made with a bori minei mizonos. The only bracha achrona, let's put it this way, the only bracha achrona that can have more than one bracha rishona, no, I take that back. The only bracha rishona which has more than one bracha achrona for it is hayitz. Bracha on mizonos has only one bracha achrona after it. No. Ala mechia.
Oh, I
said
no.
I said bracha. No, a birch samotzi, or if you make a bracha achrona, always has a birch samazon. No, it does. I that's why I changed the direction. Listen, birchas, there's six birchas anenin before. Birchas samotzi is always birchas samazon. Bari pri agafen is always ala gafen al pri agafen. Bari pri ho adama. Okay, unless you have the funny sheet of Rabbeinu Tam about Klaios, is always a Borei Nefashos.
Yeah.
Okay, Borei Shakol is always a Borei Nefashos.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah,
oh, you want to say?
Yeah, it's Mizonos and then
Okay, fine. So you got came up with the second case. Thank you. I forgot. That slipped my mind. Okay. I'm thinking. I hold like Rav and Shmuel for the moment. Okay. Just for this particular second. Okay. So Mizonah slipped my mind. Fine. Mizonah's the same thing. You had rice and a cracker. You know, wheat cracker. What? What's that?
As if he didn't hold like that.
I mean, a rice cracker. That's to make a Mizonah. Why not?
Yeah. Right.
And a wheat cracker. So you have the same question come up, which is when you have two foods that have different brachos, when you have two foods that have the same bracha rishona, different bracha achrona, if you make the bracha rishona on one of them, does that dictate what bracha achrona you make? And I think, again, I don't have a check. My gut tells me, and the same, then I think it's the same at rice. I think if you make an alamichya on the wheat, you don't need to make a barnei fashos on the rice. I would bet pretty strongly on that, but I would bet no matter which you made the bracha mishona on, you still have to make the bracha achrona on. You still have to make an alamechia. You still have to make an alamechia. I would argue, but you could say that the Yushalmi, was concerned about this, and the Yushalmi would say that if you made a bracha mishona on the apple, you can't make a mein shalosh, because the bracha achrona on the apple, according to the Yushalmi, is velo klum. If it bar nefasha, so now it doesn't really bother me. Right, you didn't make a bracha rishon on the date. You can't make a bracha achron on the date. And you didn't make a bracha rishon on the right on the wheat. You can't make a bracha achron on the wheat.
That's a radical
shoot. Yes, I told you it was radical. You didn't believe me.
No,
you thought of it yourself.
But like when it comes to Paris, you don't think that it really makes a difference. No, I know. But then all of a sudden you think that you're eating a cracker after you have.
I mean, it's tremendously radical, especially for those rishonim who hold that that main shalosh is the raisa.
Is that an issue of like?
Yes. I mean, it's more than that. It's that the bracha achrona is tied to a bracha rishona. I mean, look, let's say you didn't. I mean, clearly it's not totally tied. Let's say I go and I eat. Let's say I hadn't made a shakel on this water. Do I make a bracha achrona? And there's no more water. So I can't make a shakel.
Of course.
Yes, I make a bracha achrona. Oh, it's not tied to the bracha rishona. Okay, but that, you know, that's an unusual case. Right? But I doubt it, but it's a possibility not to be ignored. The Prima Gadim, if I'm not mistaken, what I was shown, I didn't have a chance to really look it through. The Prima Gadim sounded like Lechatchila. I don't know what context he was saying, but you're really supposed to make the bracha Rishona because the bracha Achrona is tied to it. He spoke about it. What would happen if there was less than a shear? Something. I think what the case was. Oh, I know what he had a case of. A zayis, which was, yeah, that was the chat. That was why, yeah, that's why I was asked about this. The zayis, it was a zayis and a tapuach. As opposed to the difference between having a zayis and a tapuach versus a grape and a tapuach. Why? Because what bracha do you make after eating a zayis? No bracha.
One zayis.
Ooh. Right? As opposed to eating an.
It's a beria.
No, it's not a beria. The point was that the point the Prima Gadim, whoever was making, was that an anav, a grape, a single grape, is a beria because it's whole. Whereas the olive pit is not a beria, right?
What if you eat the olive pit?
Why are you bottling? Okay,
when I say eat the olive pit, I don't mean you swallow it.
I don't care. I don't want to redo the whole issue of beria. We've done the issue of beria already once. Okay, once it's enough. But that's the issue. He's not suggesting you would be pater, but l'chatchila, are you supposed to make sure that the bracha rishona that you made is going to be tied to the bracha achrona that you have to make?
But that's irrelevant when it comes to if you do berachas hamazon. So
correct, because there's no bracha achrona on this stuff before.
If you're going to bench on eating potatoes.
Okay, thank you. Fine.
So when we say the bracha rishona,
which are you really benching on, the meat or the potatoes? David?
Like what implications does this have in terms of the kavanah that you have when making the bracha rishona? For instance, if I have both items in front of me, it's just a matter of I'm making the bracha for both, but I'm picking to eat up one first, or is it even more radical than that, saying I have two fruits. Right now I'm really only eating the apple. I eat it and then I said, oh, you know what, I want some of the dates also. I might as well continue eating.
I don't know if I would say it that way. I would say that the bracha paters. Remember, we're already convinced that the bracha paters the food that you're making. You make bracha on a specific piece of food. That's what you're doing. The bracha may exempt you. It may exempt you from eating anything else that happens to have the same bracha. And that's a question. That, even that is not 100% clear. We assume it does, but it depends, you know, whether it was there or not, and so on, different house, right, different room, all sorts of questions. Not so pashut. Shlomo?
If it's an issue of quasi-ikar v'tata, so then...
Yeah.
There, you know, there are those that say that, let's say, having ice cream thrown in ice cream is tough off of the bones, so you make the mazonas and you take a lick. Which means you don't have to have the mazona. You don't have to have the mazonas.
Does anybody actually say
who
that?
Who would say that the cone is more important than... The cone's not more important than the ice cream.
Yeah, no, you take a leg.
That's
true. You eat the ice cream. Because it's taco, so right. Why is this any different? You're having in mind both of them.
There's a difference between a taroves, something that's uruf to some extent, and something that's not. I find that very difficult, by the way. Extremely difficult. I feel the mitzias, it's fakakt.
You could... Basically, it's a cracker on the bottom and then like marshmallow on top. They make the mazonas, and they eat the crembo.
Yeah, but you're dealing with one heftza there.
But here too, you're having in mind. Yeah. You know that it's not an issue of oh, I'm having a banana and then oh,
no,
date.
No, no, I don't think that's going to work here.
You're having my tea book.
Yeah, but still, I don't think you can send two discrete entities, discrete in every sense of the word. Not only is it not me'urav, but it's mamish separate, right? Unless you take a pin and you stick it through your date and your apple, right? And mechaber them. Just mechaber them for the bracha. I didn't mean...
Oh, like bread?
Yeah. Yes. Moshe?
Stick your bread together.
Would it be okay to wait then make a hadamah on something? Let's say you have a broccoli and you make a hadamah on the broccoli and then make a itzel and
date. You're saying broccoli is a kosher.
Anyway. In other words, you have now two meanings that are not really have been broccoli shown up.
I don't want to answer that question because we don't know what the Yushalmi holds when you make a bracha on if you make a birchas ha'adama first. Do you even make ha'etz? You could have the same problem. It depends whether or not you mechuy to make ha'etz on the date.
Well, you don't have to have in mind if you can make a ha'adama.
What I'm telling you is, you will see the Bavli come the first day in the Bavli was who was it? Ula? Who was the first day in the Bavli? You remember? Ula comes out of his way and to say. And let me put it this way. The simple reading of the Brice that the Bavli has, although it doesn't appear like this in Tosefta, the simple reading of the Brice that the Bavli has is that if I have an apple and a banana here and I make Ha'adama on the banana, I don't make a bracha on the apple because Ha'adama covers Ha'etz.
So what about if you had...
And therefore, I don't know what the Yusham... The Bavli, clearly, Ula comes to say, no. And when he's faced with that Brice, he has to chasuri mechasur the Brice.
So if you're having an
apple, eats and ha'adama, yeah.
So then, could you make the apple first? You make a bracha on the apple first.
According to whom? I'm not sure.
Bracha achrona on
Plyos is going to be bar nefashos. Yeah, because it's not.
You have to have the reverse situation where the ha'etz bracha that you make on the ha'etz that's not a min shiva is not going to pot or whatever else you have.
You're talking about, take any case, if you have water and you have an apple.
No, but the shahakol could pot the apple.
Yeah, but it's always that way. The brachas always go in a certain order. You're not going to get any mazonos. You want rice.
No.
Rice and water, right?
What?
Moshaka will pot the rice.
Rice.
Okay, rice and an apple. Rice and an apple.
No, but you need the...
Rice and an apple, right? Neither of them will pot the other. So you definitely have to make a mazonis and an eitz and one bracha harma. So what's your question?
No, but here you're dealing with a chalosh.
I understand.
That's the question. I understand with the rice and an apple, but if straight from a chalosh, which seems to be what they're concerned about with Shiras Aminim, if you had a bracha that was more specific, you had a eitz, and then something that's a mean shiva, that you would make a hadama, or how would you?
I mean, you have hadama, you do, on chita and sora when you eat them raw. If you don't make your main shalash. Yeah. Okay. That was Rabbeinu Tam's discussion, no? That's the famous Shita Rabbeinu Tam.
If you're in the Yerushalmi...
Al Adama Val Pri Hadama, and then he changed his mind.
Maybe you can make an Al Arz Val Madaneha.
Okay. Anyway.
If you're in the Yerushalmi.
Fine. So what is the... Let's read on a continuation of the Yerushalmi. I love this.
Yeah, Hadag Rizamta.
Hadag Rizamta.
So Grizimta apparently was this this mixture. The Pnei Mishra claims it's a kind of dessert, but it has multiple meaning in it. Yeah, but it also has lupines. Okay. And so the comment here was that you make a bracha on the lupines because it's the ikar, and you poter the tefela. Okay, and why Amar Blevi?
Amar Blevi, Al Shem Al Tigzal Dal, Ki Dalu. Ad Kedon B'Shiyesh V'Da'ato Lechol Pat. Yevada'ato Lechol Pat Lo Gadal.
Okay, so what is the? There are a couple of things to comment here, but what is the first? What's the Gemara Zukimta? So apparently, it's a case where you're eating the Grizimta before the Suda. So, whose sheet it is that you make on the Trumusin and not perhaps that there was Shivas Aminim or something in it? The Chachamim. So he says it depends. The way it's the way Pnei Mishra reads. I'm not sure that it's not so simple, but I could explain it the same way anyway, slightly differently. It's not before the Suda, it's after the Suda. So what's the difference of whether you're intending to eat pas, more pas, or not more pas? Whether it's called Toch HaSuda or Lachar HaSuda. That might, could be what the distinction is.
You'd always have to say a Bracha Chorona.
No. If it's Toch HaSuda, you don't.
If it's Toch HaSuda.
It's not Machmas
HaSuda. It's not Machmas HaSuda.
You don't make a Bracha Chorona.
In the time of the Gemara?
What do you mean? In the Braisa? In the Bavli? Am I mistaken? Or Dvarim which are born B'Toch HaSuda, Machmas HaSuda, you don't make a Bracha before or after. Shalom Machmas HaSuda, you make a Bracha before, but not after. La'achar HaSuda, so you have to make both a Bracha before and after. That's the part I got confused over. It doesn't matter whether... It's not called Machmas HaSuda, La'achar HaSuda, by definition, almost. Okay, so the Yerushalmi says here that if you intend on eating more bread, so then it's still B'Toch HaSuda, and therefore you don't have to make a Bracha Chorona, no problem. If you are finished eating bread, then you must make a Bracha Chorona on the Grizimta as well, and therefore you should be making the Bracha Rishona, again, on the thing that you're going to make the Bracha Chorona on. Okay. Just one comment here about more of a comment in the way of Musar. Chazal have a tendency, it's a fascinating quote, the Pasuk, Al Tigzal Dal Kidalhu, of Al Tudakeoni Vashar. So the Pasuk speaks for itself. Perhaps it should be mandatory for all of Klal Yisrael every week just to read through Sefer Mishlei, either in the Hebrew or in translation. It would be very good for the ethics of Klal Yisrael. That's sidebar, okay. But Chazal, you'll notice, have a tendency sometimes to take inanimate objects and demand that we give them their due. It's a very common theme in many different midrashim. For example, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not the one to take his rod and to strike the water because it had somehow protected him when he was a child in the Suf, and he was not one to strike the sand for the Kenim because it had saved him, even though it didn't, when he killed the Mitzri. Okay, I think that, you know, Chazal have a comment about this. I don't know if they quote these psukim in it. There's a Gemara at the end of Achova when they say, they ask, how do you know that a person is not supposed to, the effect, you're not supposed to throw stones into the well you drank from. So the point is, it matters the well? The answer is no. But Chazal obviously are trying to sensitize us to a sense of both justice and gratitude, that which giving people, or whatever else it is, their due for things that they do for us, regardless of anything else. And even though these are inanimate objects, and obviously the lupine doesn't have any feelings that are going to be hurt, it's a question of Musar and Derech Eretz. It's the way a person behaves. You know, if a person behaves throughout his life, through everything that he does, in recognizing where things come from and sort of recognizing what the ikar is, it's important for keeping things straight. Okay. Anyway, so that's what they say about this. There are a couple of more stories. We'll read them tomorrow because I will take questions now. But basically, this was Mahalach number one. Mahalach number two, which we also must do tomorrow, and I don't want to spend so much more time on Yishalmi, is the approach of the Baal Sefer Haredim. So please do try to read it actually tomorrow morning. If you finish with this, you may go on in the Bavli. I'm going to try. I don't know if I'll have the chance this afternoon. I'm going to try to get some questions together to help guide some of your thinking. I want you to do blind. With your eyes closed. I don't want you to look at Mefarshim. I want you to read through the Bavli until the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis with the story when he tells them something about iron boots or whatever it is. You know, after that first story about they brought him to Einim and Anavim or something like that, or
whatever it was, and he made a, but he made a bracha on one of them. So that story is still relevant. The rest of the Gemara is not relevant really to the to this coming to the sugya we're dealing with. But go up to that point and read the Gemara slowly, 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 and carefully. Okay, asking all the appropriate questions and just follow the shakla of the Tarya carefully. Okay.